Today on Pop Center, series finales that were terrible.
The worst.
And TV is really disappointing.
And DJ Qualls.
That's more disappointing.
And
basically,
Chris Pratt in makeup.
Yeah, which is poorly done, so it's disappointing. This is a very depressing episode.
You should stop now.
Yeah, take your Xanax, kids. Here comes Pop Center.
This is Pop Center.
But don't you think that I'm a runner? I'll be coming with my guns up, shooting at the moon to bring the sun up.
This is Pop Center. I'm Tommy West.
Hey, Maxwell.
Hey. I'm Caitlin.
Hey.
Hi.
I love that song, by the way, and I think you guys were, like more alt rock, where I'm more EDM-ish, more by career choices than, but it's,
you're saying this is fusing of the two? That
yes.
This is a mess.
This is, it's Mark Foster from Foster the People.
Yeah, and Madion.
Madion.
Yeah, but I think I am like even more alt than Maxwell.
Ooh, wow.
Alt off. Do it alt,
alt off.
Alt off.
You are not more alt than me.
I think so.
No.
You're more indie than me. It's indie, alt, and whatever Tommy listens to.
Beeps and squeaks.
Beeps and squeaks.
So we're back again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it, everybody.
This
Look
is
at
great.
Us
this
go.
Is great. Feels good. Feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Entourage did great.
I like that you're
starting off high.
Your plan to buy out a whole theater actually would have got backfired on you.
So while we were away, I tweeted that my plan was to buy up an entire theater of tickets to Entourage and then just throw it in the trash so that it'd be an empty theater that so no one could go see it. And I didn't have to do that because no one saw it anyway. Luckily.
But wouldn't that be helping the movie?
Yeah, I think technically.
Do you want to help the movie?
Like, no one's going into the theater with like a clicker going like, all right, let's get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, there's 8 people in here. Like, no one's doing that. They're just counting ticket sales.
Right.
So if you do that, yes, I would have actually helped Entourage.
But
yes.
No one would know it was
And there
you.
Might have been an Entourage 3.
Oh, no.
Because of you.
What happened to 2?
Yeah, well, they're so.
Oh, wait, sorry.
The
I'm
boys
thinking
are so good. They just went to a third.
The boys came back twice.
I would love it if they made a movie like had a whole plotline that nobody knew about, as if it, like there was an Entourage 2 and just jumped to 3. I'd watch that. That's the Entourage I'd watch. No context whatsoever. Not that you need it for Entourage. You can go into any season of any Entourage season, any episode, and be fully caught up on what is happening, which is nothing.
But you know what's interesting about Entourage is that I kind of like Entourage in the sense not what. All right. Let me tread lightly here. So I like...
You're going to offend a lot of people
yes,
right now.
People are tuning out immediately.
Mainly women.
I like Entourage in the sense of like behind the scenes-ish, behind like Hollywood and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like the dude bro.
The bro.
I don't think that's what really Hollywood is. I don't think that Entourage is actually displaying what goes on.
No, but, all right, but I'm saying like, did you actually watch Entourage ever?
Yes.
Okay, so... I'm surprised you admitted that.
I watched it.
It was like a support group for ex Entourage viewers.
Hi, I'm Maxwell,
and I used to watch the show. The point is, like there's a season where he's trying to get a deal and become Aquaman, and then the Aquaman comes out, and they're worried about like the ticket sales and like all that type of like that very inside Hollywood stuff. I like that. I don't like the fact that like turtles banging. Girls
and making
like
tequila.
Yeah, it's like that part I can do without.
Which is now a real tequila.
Well, like,
you can buy turtles tequila.
I want to buy turtles
and
tequila.
Drink it. You
that
can
reminds
drink.
Me of Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
because in an episode, one of the backers of the company.
Oh, he has the tequila, right?
Yeah, three commas.
Three commas for his billion.
And that's a good show, too. Like, that's very inside a different business. That's inside Silicon Valley, literally.
Right.
So I like that stuff. Like, I feel like now that Entourage has been off the air for a couple of years, maybe we can get another. Like, maybe we should go in ourselves and write a TV show about inside like
podcasts.
Hollywood or
the, be a horribly
the business
boring
of
show.
Podcasts.
Inside audio.
It'd just be us eating tacos. Yeah. Like, okay.
Separately.
Yeah.
Like, just alone.
Right.
Just,
so we don't want to hang out.
No dialogue because we're by ourselves and eat every shot.
And then we're like, hey, you want to do a show? And it's like, yeah.
Well, I feel like every workplace thinks that And I always hear people saying this, that they're like, oh, man, like if only we had, if only this was being videotaped and like if only this was for a show, because I feel like a lot of people think that their workplace is just, I don't know. It's just
entertaining. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, this could be a TV entertaining. Show.
Well, yeah.
But I get that. But I think what people don't realize is that it's a lot easier to try to get a TV show on the air than it really is. Like if you actually went out and wrote a screenplay for a based around your workplace, it has a high potential of getting it on the air somewhere, because yes, there are a lot of screenplays that get written or TV scripts that get spec scripts that get written. But the amount of people that actually make it on the air or actually pursue it are very little.
I mean, that's the beauty of online. You can just put it online. I mean, yeah. John Oliver did his show this past week and showed Bounty Hunter episodes shows that have not made it to TV. Yeah. These ones that just people make on their own. And they're amazing.
Yeah.
The amount of shit TV that's online is fascinating.
It's all the sizzle reels. You can just go on YouTube and watch sizzle reels.
Oh my God, it's great. You get sucked in for hours. I love it. I've done it.
Yeah.
I'm guilty.
I feel like there's more. I want a TV show that's inside Hollywood or inside TV or inside. I like that stuff. Give me a show with Lloyd. This is the character Lloyd from Entourage.
The assistant.
Yeah. they try to give him a few shows after that. And what's his name? Rex.
Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan. Yep, that's his name.
I don't know his name. It'd be great if Rex Ryan actually played Ari's assistant on Entourage. That would be
what?
Awesome.
He's always wearing headphones and throws them on the floor for no reason.
Losing games.
Spy also came out, apparently.
Spy did good. Spy made some money.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Did you see it?
Jude Law. Right?
Jude Law's in it.
That's your takeaway from it. Jude Law.
Kaylin's review.
I can't tell if some reviews were sarcastic or not. Like I was reading reviews and I'm like, I don't know if they're being literal.
I saw an early screening of it. I don't know if it's changed since I've seen it. I assume it has, but it's a lot of Melissa McCarthy. I'm used to her being the sidekick.
Uh-huh.
This is hers. Like she always has someone to play off of. Like with The Heat, she had Sandra Bullock. With Bridesmaids, she was, you know, really only in it every 20 minutes. And she had Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph. This is her show.
Yeah.
And that can get a little stale every now and then. Like she herself has a very funny British sidekick in the movie. Mm-hmm. And like people say, oh, they should put her in her own movie. But it becomes a lot when you get like such a kitschy character having their own movie.
I think the issue is Hollywood and agents and everyone, they try to push like this can be a leading lady. And Melissa McCarthy is the type of person where it's like, maybe she'd be a different type of leading lady in comedy. It's like, you know, like a female version of Chris Farley.
Right. I can easily see Chris Farley in this role.
I think. And so they're trying that, but it's like, sometimes it just doesn't work. Like, you know, but you know what was really disappointing is that the weekend her movie came out, she skipped the Gilmore Girls reunion.
What? Was she in Gilmore Girls?
Yes, she was. I was just about to mention that because I saw a picture of
Lauren Graham.
No.
I love Lauren Graham.
It was like a screenshot of Gilmore Girls, and then I had totally forgotten that she was in it.
Yeah, the whole series.
But I mean, I would rather I'd rather see Melissa McCarthy in Spy than Kevin James.
I'd rather see anyone than Kevin James ever.
I'm saying, like, I don't know many, like, I mean, Odyssey, the joke of the whole thing is that she is overweight and doing all these action spy stuff and being successful at it. Like, that's the whole joke of the movie. I get that.
Yeah, but I think in general, the whole parody of a spy movie is gone. Like, stop trying to do that.
Who ruined it? When did that?
Number one, I think it takes, you really need to have a successful genre going right now. There's no, other than like James Bond, which is always kind of just around, there's no successful spy genre movie right now to play off of.
No, I think this is referencing a lot of the old James Bond or the old spy movies. I think this is trying to bring it back in sort of a comical way. Paul Feig is bringing his improvisational. I forgot how you say that.
Right.
But he's just trying to bring that aspect of a movie to this. And
right. But in Britain, they did like Johnny English and then Johnny English Reborn in 2011.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, they're doing spy genre comedies.
Steve Carell in a parody of
Get Hard or Spy Hard.
No, it was a remake of Get Smart.
Yes.
Get Smart, right. Yeah, and which was a TV series back in the 50s when this genre was popular. So I don't hate on Melissa McCarthy necessarily.
You're hating on the spy genre.
I think the spy comedy genre. I don't think there's, you know what I mean? Like, how do you do that in 2015?
I don't know. There's not that many. I mean, there's The Man Who Knew Too Little, there's the Bill Murray one. There's the Leslie Nielsen movies. There's
The Spy Who Knew Too Little, by the way, did terrible. It's a cult classic,
yeah,
but it did terrible. And there's no, I can't actually remember any going back, unless you count Peter Sellers that far back, like Pink Panther stuff. There hasn't really been any successful spy comedy playoff of.
But I
movies.
Think you can count Spy as a successful movie. I mean, it made money. It did.
Because what else were they playing up against?
Entourage.
Okay. And there we go.
What was the other one? Insidious, I think, came out, or maybe that was the week before. I'm not sure.
That's like Mike Tyson having the flu and I don't know.
Who's Boxer sick. B yeah. taking in.
Yeah.
Like you jumping in.
Yes, me.
Yeah.
I was actually trying to think of the kid from Road Trip.
Kid from Road Trip?
Yeah.
Tom Green?
No, he has a weird name. What's his
name? Oh, DJ Qualls?
DJ Qualls. It's like DJ Qualls winning up against...
What happened
Mike
to that
Tyson because he had the flu.
I remember the last time I saw him, he was in like my favorite horrible movie, The Core.
Yeah.
With Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank. How do you get Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank in a movie like The Core? How does that happen? And Delroy Lindo's in it too.
I remember I tweeted DJ Qualls and he tweeted back because I was actually offending him. I was actually.
What'd you say?
Like I said.
So you were being a troll.
No, like he said he met someone and they're like, oh, I wish I had this. And I was like, but. You know, she said she wanted her $5 back for Road Trip or some. Oh, no. What was the movie where he was like in prison?
The New Guy.
The New Guy. I was like, they wanted their $10 back from seeing New Guy. He's like, you.
I love that. I know the filmography of DJ Qualls in
yeah,
my head.
Good job.
I do love me some DJ Qualls.
You're the DJ Q IMDb in your head.
New Guy is a great movie. Eliza Dushku's in it.
I know. Whatever happened to her?
She was in New Guy.
I know that.
That's it. You can retire after that. You're good. You're set.
Maybe. Yeah, but maybe she should have like stopped after Bring It On.
Was she in that?
Yeah, she was.
Well, I mean, it has nothing on the New
she
Guy.
She was
okay.
Kirsten Dunst's friend.
that was what she was.
Is that what it says on IMDb yeah. Friend?
It says it right there. Look, see.
I don't
Kirsten Dunst's friend.
I don't believe Dushku was in that. I don't. I'm calling.
She was in Dude with My Car.
No, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't.
Wait, you guys
no,
do not know what Eliza Dushku was in. She was only in The New Guy, okay? That's the only one that she
that
was in.
That isn't the only one. Look up Bring It On.
I'm doing it. It's happening.
Right. So this podcast is
and she was to- also, she also had a TV series.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't Bring It On.
Was it Charmed?
Well, she must have been not been that good in Bring It On because I don't remember her. But I remember her in The New Guy and she was great in that. So, yeah, you're right there, Tommy.
Yeah, I don't,
fix your thing.
My microphone fell. who was I thinking of in Dude, Where's My Car? Oh, Marla Sokoloff?
No, you know who was in that is Ben Affleck's wife, Miss Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
Was in Dude, Where's My Car? DJ Qualls, not in Dude, Where's My Car? because I would know that.
That was a great movie, you know, in hindsight. I mean, I don't really like anything with Ashton Kutcher.
You didn't like Butterfly Effect?
Oh my god, I love that.
That was
movie.
Actually a pretty good movie. A little dark. It was good.
I don't like anything Ashton Kutcher's in, which means I definitely don't like Demi Moore.
Wow.
See that joke they made there? Mm. I'm gonna just turn my mic off.
Yeah, you can go take a lap.
All right.
Go sit this one out.
Jurassic World is coming out.
Hey,
this weekend.
You mean the Chris Pratt eyeliner movie?
Chris Pratt eyeliner?
How do you guys not notice how much makeup he's wearing in the trailer? It's upsetting to me.
I didn't even notice it.
He's the full. I know everyone wears makeup in movies. All right, it's a given. But there is a lot of makeup on that guy in the trailer.
So are they trying to maybe make him look like his action figure?
I
like do it backwards?
Know. I don't know. It looks like a very glossy movie. Okay. I'm not looking forward to seeing this one. I will still see it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
and I think that's what they're banking on.
Oh, yeah,
a lot of people to do.
If I'm calling it's going to make $110 million.
It's been over 20 years, right? I mean,
yeah, it's been a while.
Officially
since the first one?
Yeah,
I think so.
And then,
I'm calling a 110 mil debut on the world.
Well, what's been the biggest debut
It's been Avengers, I think, was the number one so far this year.
That came out already? I wasn't paying attention.
That did come out. Yeah. Ultron came out, came and went.
I wasn't paying
attention. I don't remember how much it made, but I know that Jurassic will not match that.
You think it'll do better?
No, it's not going to do better. It's going to do, I think it's going to do $110 million. That's my bet. That's my bet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. That movie in itself is just, it's in its own world. Ha ha. But
I don't get that. Explain it to me, what you just did.
It's Jurassic World. I said it's in its own world. The thing is, like, from everything we've seen, it's basically the same movie.
Yes.
Like,
I will still rather go see Jurassic Park, which to me is a better fit for the movie. I get what they're trying to do with Jurassic World, trying to make it like an actual, it's an actual theme park this time. It's youthful. There's kids in it. Mm-hmm. There's cool gizmos and gadgets.
We didn't have kids in the first one at all. So,
well, there were, but they didn't have the gadgets.
There were two. I know, adorable little kids.
Sam Neill was in it. He cannot be replaced because he's great.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the girl? Was it Laura Dern?
Yep.
Laura Dern. Yeah.
Yeah. She was great. She's good actress. Bryce Dallas Howard. I don't really buy as an actress yet. In movies.
And then there was Newman.
Yeah. And Sam Jackson.
Someone showed me a scene that apparently was an improvised take in when he's having the secret meeting with the guy at the table. And he like doesn't want people to call his name. He's like, hey, he's here. Like, no one cares that you're here. I forgot who it was, but he said that he improvised that scene. And it's so funny. It's just like 15 seconds. It's great. Is he in the new one?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that'd be great. He should be. I am happy that Vincent D'Onofrio's in the new one. I love me some Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
But I don't know how often more. I think he's probably going to be like a lackey who's like in the control room. Like they'll cut to him occasionally when there's drama and he'll just like look distressed. That'll be it.
Just shoehorn him in when needed.
Yeah, that'll be it. He'll just be his usual D'Onofrio self.
D'Onofrio. I kind of miss like Criminal Intent D'Onofrio.
Yes. Like, I forgot he was that guy.
Yeah.
How did you forget?
I was a Savu guy. I always watched the sexual one, with the sex crimes.
Just call it the sex crimes one.
That's what it is. They solve the sex crimes.
That was literally the original title for the show.
Just sex crimes.
Sex crimes.
It's a good show.
But it wasn't even supposed to be an Law and Order franchise.
I loved how over the span of 11 or however many seasons Christopher Maloney was on the show, he still got outraged at certain things. Like, they're letting kids, like, why are they doing this? Like, he's always upset. Like, get with it. You know this is what it is. He's always distraught.
Speaking of him, when is the Wet Hot American Summer?
Yeah, I think it's coming out. Is it this month or next month? One of those.
No, it can't be that soon. Is it that soon?
This weekend is Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was coming out this soon. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy now. You put me in a good mood. I'm going to look it up.
You're welcome.
I was in a bad mood. We're talking about Jurassic World, but now I'm back in it.
I think we need it. See, that thing is, you should have been smarter with it, and you should have made us all watch the original Wet Hot American Summer in expectation for the series.
We can. There's still time. It's not coming out till July 31st.
Okay. Oh, wow. Next month. Oh, that's
first
some time.
Day of camp.
So we have time to watch a classic movie. If anyone out there has not seen Wet Hot American Summer, do yourself a favor and go watch it and then watch it again.
Because it's the summertime.
It's the summertime.
Yeah.
And it's wet out there. And hot. And I'm American. Just watch it. Tommy, you can't watch it. You're not.
Why can't I watch? It's one of my favorite movies.
You're not allowed to watch it.
You know what's funny is they filmed it right by where I live.
At the Jewish summer camp?
Yeah. I live right near there. And I found out like recently. Actually, I wonder if they didn't film the new series by me, did they?
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I find filming locations.
What season is Orange is the New Black on? What was this, the fourth?
Third.
You know, it's funny. It's one of those shows that, like, on the surface, I don't want to like, but I like
it. How come?
Feminism. No, no, because it just, to me, it's like, okay, I get it. They're locked in prison. Like, how far can this go? And, you know, I don't know. I'm very skeptical. I guess I'm a socially awkward person now. So in like real life, I'm very standoffish and it takes me a while to kind of get comfortable with people. So it's the same thing with TV shows. Like, oh, I gotta get comfortable with these people. I don't know if I want to.
They're in prison. It's awkward.
Yeah. Like,
to me,
close quarters.
The problem I have with not necessarily Orange is the New Black, but any Netflix show is that I'm a binger. I watch everything at once. I will watch 10 hours of a show. But when I'm done watching the season, I kind of forgot what I had just watched.
You almost have to go back again and watch
it. And I don't want to do that. Like, I waste enough time.
That's why it takes me about for a net. for a Netflix series, it takes me about, I still go through it like, I don't know, 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, so it takes you 2 months. It takes you 2 months to watch. Yeah, see, I have a problem. It's an addiction. Like, once I watch one, the fact that they're all available, I'm just going to stay up and watch it. I blink and it's 4 a.m. and I'm screwed.
I will say there's one show on Netflix that you can't binge watch because it's a deal with Canada.
What?
Yeah, so Netflix.
Oh, right. Don't they release an episode every week?
An episode a week. It's a show called Between.
Okay.
It's actually a really good show. It has Jeanette McCurdy in it.
I don't know who that
She's
is.
She's some. Oh,
the name sounds familiar.
She was on Nickelodeon with the girl that is now known as Ariana Grande. You may have heard of her.
Yeah.
They did a show together called like Sam and Cat.
I don't know.
I don't know why I know that part.
But anyway. it's on Netflix and you can't watch it all at
once. Right, because what happens is it's actually simultaneously airing in Canada on Canadian televisions. And so what happens is they play that at like 8 o'clock local time in Canada. And then 11 o'clock, they release it on Netflix each episode.
I wish that they would do that for other series overseas.
I know. It's almost like kind of like what Hulu does, but without commercials and better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good show, by the way. But the fact you can't binge watch it, it's one of those shows that I just want to binge watch. Because and for those that don't know, it's a show about... basically, everyone in this town starts dying. And then when the chips all fall, they realize everyone over the age of 22 died. And it's just basically the only people left are under the age of 22.
Is it a remake?
Weird.
And no, it's an original series. And they the government, and they're very, I knew it was a Canadian show because they're very particular. Like, oh, the government and this and that. And it's all very like generic. And I'm like, this has got to be Canada. Like, they're making government too generic that it's Canada. It's got to be.
Huh.
And sure enough, it was. But and they cordon off the whole town. And the government tells them, all right, you just, you know, go ahead and burn the bodies. And then we'll open the gates and we'll let you guys all. And then they never do that. So then it's just everyone under the age of 22 trying to survive with each other in this town. And then they all basically know they're going to die once they hit 22.
How many episodes are we into it right now?
As of this airing, there are 3 episodes, maybe 4, depending on when you listen.
I might check one of those out.
It's a good show. And actually, the first episode is definitely pretty cool.
I like the premise.
Yeah.
Sounds better than the Wachowski show.
Oh, my God. Sensei. Yeah, I tried watching that and I had a punch out. Like, that was...
What happened to them? Where did they go wrong? Like, so much promise.
It's really weird if you talk about the Wachowski brothers, because, like, they did The Matrix.
Siblings. Wachowski siblings.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Siblings.
Yes. One made a change on their driver's license.
And yet got no Vanity Fair cover.
Yeah.
What happened with that? That's not fair.
She's a bigger girl. I think that's what it is. I think it's all fat shaming.
She can be in Spy too.
Yes. No, but like, I feel like they've done nothing but terrible things since after The Matrix.
Yeah, it's really been disappointing. Speed Racer was a huge... V for Vendetta, I guess, was sort of them. They produced it, but they didn't direct it.
Right.
Maybe they were going to, but then backed out. Jupiter Ascending, which is, to me, I rope it in with the Happening, where if you view it as a comedy, it's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anything other than a comedy, it's a train wreck.
I think the problem is where they are right now. I don't know who's giving them money. It's like the guy who makes the other movies with the twists.
The Shyamalans. The Happening. He made
with
the Happening.
The twists.
He keeps... All these people keep making terrible movies.
Although I must say, I do enjoy his series, Wayward Pines, which is a mini-series on Fox. I enjoy it. It's campy. It's, like, stupid. Matt Dillon's, like, very good at being, like...
Matt Dillon?
Not the best actor, but, like, just, like, who he is. It's great.
I just want some TV show or movie to take advantage of their brothers. The brothers. The Dillon brothers. And just like have a scene where like Matt Dillon's looking out the window and then like there's a flash of lightning. And just for a second, you see it turns into Kevin Dillon and then back to Matt. Like just for like you have to pause the DVD to see that.
I don't think I want to. Maybe it'll be in the new Entourage.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll turn into Matt Damon. Maybe he'll be like, oh, it worked out. I got some
in weird Inception. 3.
Right. They're skipping over 2, going to 3. Right. Matt Dillon somehow is now in the Entourage. We don't know why, but we just accept it because it's Entourage.
They never explain it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
It's all right. And then the FIFA movie came out too.
Yes.
That came out is a generic term.
It's screened
in places.
Person saw it. a person.
I don't know the name of it. What's the name of the FIFA movie?
I think it's just called FIFA.
FIFA.
Or Dream to Dream.
Dream to Dream.
Yeah.
Dream to...
I like that. That's a good
spend
name.
Spend money or something.
Tim Roth's in it, plays Sepp Blatter, who is the president, or not anymore.
Ex-president.
I liked him better when he was the bad guy in The Incredible Hulk.
What, Tim Roth?
Yes.
Tim Roth's great. Tim Roth does a lot of cool stuff.
I like Tim Roth in some things, and then I hate him in others. So I'm kind of hot and cold on Tim Roth.
What is the name of this movie? I can't even find it.
Well, that's probably the biggest problem it has.
He probably had it removed from his page. He didn't want it on here.
You realize that more people know about the FIFA movie because of John Oliver than
talking about it.
Actually from anywhere else.
here it is. It's called United Passions.
Oh, God.
It's with Sam Neill's in this one, too. Oh, God,
so,
Sam Neill.
Let me ask you this.
A 2.1 rating.
Is this movie essentially the FIFA version of what Battlefield Earth was for Scientology?
Probably. This was FIFA funded, just like Battlefield Earth was Scientology funded. I think they put like $20 million into this FIFA movie. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time it was in one movie theater this past weekend in New York. And it took in a box office total of $672 or something like that.
That's actually better than I expected.
I thought Entourage would do less than that, but didn't work out.
Oh, yeah.
Like 30 people saw this movie, $20 million budgeted movie.
How many people saw it again?
Like 8 or 10.
Wait, you're doing the math wrong. Hang on. Let's actually
listen. I'm not a math man. Wait. Maybe they charge like $100 for a ticket. All right. I'm not a math guy.
I
think then probably like 50 people saw it.
Okay, so let's see here. $600-some, right?
We're really going to break this down? Fine.
Okay, it's like $700.
$700.
Movie tickets these days, the kids are paying about $10, right?
Yes.
Something like that? Okay. So that would be about 70 people.
Hey!
That's under 100 people.
A lot of people.
I think less than 100 people seeing a movie is... And that's nationwide? Is that
what?
That's
I don't know what it did abroad. I'm sure it did much better in the foreign box office. But another good movie's coming out this weekend called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which is supposed to be fantastic. Everybody's talking about it. I think it's going to be
great. Guess who talked about it first? Me.
I don't recall that ever happening. So
you mentioned this. I don't know anything about this. So.
No, Caitlin did mention it first a while ago during one of our previous podcasts. We were talking about Sundance movies. This was at Sundance, and it was the Sundance Charmer of the Year.
Is that an award?
No, it's like a universally accepted thing when everyone enjoys it. Hmm. They call it a charmer.
I don't like that you keep just...
Making up stuff?
No, saying the word everyone. Like, I don't know what this movie's about.
You don't know what anything is.
You said everyone's talking about
it. You care about Entourage.
Well, no, I don't really... I mean... I'll be honest, and we got to get off Entourage, but
we do.
But I kind of wanted to see it in the same
way. We can still go. I'll go with you.
I don't know if I want to. I'm too embarrassed.
Will you pay for it if I go?
No, I won't pay. I won't pay to see it at all.
Yeah.
Wait, but you were going to pay a whole movie theater.
that wasn't me. I offered to start a GoFundMe page to do that. So I wouldn't have spent a dime. I just would have done the legwork. So,
how about we go see Me and Earl? We pay to go see Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and then just go sneak into Entourage.
I loved My Name Is Earl. That was a good
show. Not My Name Is Earl.
No,
that was not a good show. That was.
I thought people really liked it.
I didn't enjoy it.
You didn't like My Name Is Earl?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It just wasn't my speed.
You know what? My Name Is Earl came out at a weird time, though.
It did,
because it came out in like a time when like there was no. Comedy on television.
Yeah, I was
like,
gonna say there weren't any really sitcoms.
What channel was it on?
NBC.
Really? That was an NBC show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, just titled together. Fun fact: Jason Lee, Scientologist.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He hides that well.
Yeah. There was a whole There's a whole thing with him and Kevin Neal and Kevin James. Nope. Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. going through the Kevin.
Running through the Kevin.
Kevin Costner. Kevin Dillon.
I guess they had some issues because he was like a Scientologist. I guess his buddy doesn't talk to him. But no, it was, and we were talking about this recently, but television in that decade, the early 2000s, I think we just need to forget the first decade of the 2000s. Like that was we were just pretending. It was all just ramping up to what life is going to be when we hit 2010. We can just throw everything out before that.
Are they going to wait? Have they done I Love the 2000s?
I think it's already been done.
I don't think we can. I think it's impossible.
I'm pretty sure John Mulaney is now a talking head for I Love 2000s.
He's not doing anything else.
Mm.
No, I think about what's one thing we loved about the early 2000s. Let me remind you of the decade that was. There was six nights a week of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
No, that wasn't that the late 90s. That was like 1999.
No, that was the early 2000s.
Why do you know that so fresh in your mind?
Because I've been studying it recently, actually. So I'm going to bring it to the show because I want to talk about it.
2001. Mm-hmm. Regis Philbin was taking over the waves.
No, because I was in fourth grade when that show started.
Mm-hmm. How early
and in
yourself?
Fourth grade, it was 1999.
Right, but it started in prime. Like it started as a special, like a one off, mm-hmm. and they brought it to series. And it was the whole early 2000s, like even like the year 2000.
Look,
it was the year 2000.
That all doesn't matter because the best game show that was on at the time was The Weakest Link.
Oh, God. No, it wasn't.
And it was a fantastic show.
The Weakest Link.
Goodbye. That's what they said.
Why did they try? Like, you realize that there was no money spent on television shows in the early 2000s. Like, all right. So you have the end of the 90s where you had Seinfeld and Friends and Frasier. And all like the gold standards of old timey sitcoms that just died. And then you have the 2000s. What do we have from the early 2000s that still stuck around?
Not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
OC.
Millionaire started in 1999.
Yeah. No, yes, I know. I understand that, but it went to series.
I was right.
Oh, whatever.
Looks like you don't know your 2000s as well as you thought you did.
Oh, really? Okay, it started in 99. When in 99? September?
August.
Exactly. See?
A solid like 4 or 5 months.
I specifically remember like sitting around the TV watching that with my family.
You had a boring family. Sorry,
it was
came out.
Big deal.
I know it
when
was.
That TV show came out,
and then we all woke up. And
yes.
Survivor. We had The Apprentice, which is still somehow around.
The Mole,
The Amazing Race,
The Amazing Race. It was just all.
And then it started with the talent show.
Right. Then there was American reality. Idol. Then there was reality shows without competitions. It was just showing people doing stuff.
Just
like,
for the
listen,
sake
guys,
of
we ran out of stuff to talk about. Just go on and live your life. We'll tape it. Then boom. What's it called? What's that thing on MTV?
Jersey Shore.
Reality something. What the hell? What's the name of that show? It's bothering me. What's the
real world?
Yes, real world.
Yeah, the real world's from the 90s, though.
That's
the thing, too. When that started, at least it was still like a documentary. I don't know why I said that really weird. Documentary.
Documentary.
It just kind of followed people and told the story, but it didn't shoehorn drama into it. It just was like, put these people in a house and drama will ensue.
Yeah.
And then people realized, I'm going to be a star, and then just started acting out on purpose to be famous.
It worked. Mm-hmm. Think of all the great names that have been made from those, like
Snooki,
like James, Tom.
I don't think no one remembers these people.
What about Rachel?
Friends?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Oh, I thought of Boy Meets World.
Oh, Rachel from Boy Meets World.
Yep,
it's a character.
Yeah, she had red hair.
There's only one girl on that show.
Did you identify her? Wait, did you identify with her because she had red hair?
No, actually, because her red hair was a different shade than mine. Mm. So I was like, that doesn't look like a real redhead.
Wait, so here's a question. As the resident redhead on the Pop Center podcast, what did you identify with redheaded actors on shows or movies?
Carrot Top.
No.
He was the one that
although I will say that there was a cartoon on Nickelodeon mm-hmm. that was called As Told by Ginger, and it was this girl who was a ginger named Ginger.
Ah,
I think that's stereotyping.
And she was great. I loved that show.
Is that syndicated? Can we watch that one?
No, I don't think so.
I'm just upset because there's no like television is just still finding its place.
Liked Deborah Messing in Will and Grace.
Yeah, Will and Grace was like redhead. It was the last one. Yeah, but she's like a darker redhead. You're like a lighter, fiery redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's offensive. You shouldn't say fiery.
Fiery. You're not fiery at all. Speaking of fiery, The Apprentice.
What happened? What about it?
That happened in the early 2000s.
Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, God. Just, there's nothing. And then, like, how long did it take for them to come out with, like, The Office? Which, even then, it was just still, like, a ripoff of The British Office. It was just them trying to Americanize
I do like the
and
American
then,
version better.
And then ABC had this like second coming with like Grey's Anatomy,
Desperate Housewives,
and Desperate Housewives,
and
yeah.
Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. God, I've Lost in like the first two seasons. Oh my God, that was a great show.
It's delicious.
That was a great first couple seasons. Like, what the hell?
Yeah,
was going on.
It was well written. It was a great show. There's nothing like that anymore.
No.
You know what's funny is I was talking. I'm gonna name drop. I'm gonna name drop so hard. But I don't remember the name, so give me...
Wow.
Wow.
We gotta come up
what?
With a term for that.
What? For
vague,
what?
Like vague name dropping. Listen, I know a guy. I don't know who he is, but...
Just you wait.
It's pretty high up, okay? It's
been, well, been you've some, built it up a lot.
It's been in some
not
movies.
That impressive.
This is gonna be a horrible name.
I was talking to actress Piper Perabo.
Ah.
Oh, Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, I like her. Okay, it's good.
And what else was she in? I don't know her.
She was on a USA show.
That's what I'm trying to Covert Affairs.
Yep.
Tell you, by the way, side note, I had a huge crush on her for my life until this very moment right now.
When you forgot her name.
Yep. That like getting finally to meet her, you had that moment of like, oh wow, my heart fluttered for you. No, I was talking to Piper and I was talking about television and how it had this resurgence. And she brought up to me, which I didn't realize, when there was the writer's strike. A couple of years ago, like the WGA writer strike, like just all the writers who were like screenplays and stuff got bored and they started writing TV shows. And then when everything let up, it was a lot easier for them to just kind of throw a like spec script for a TV show. And
did
so
Lost result of that, or was that during the strike? Like
that was before the strike.
Yeah.
And so in like the mid to late 2000s, like when you got Mad Men and like stuff like that, that was all because of this writer's strike.
So you're saying we should have writers be on strike?
Yes.
More often.
Just bar them from movies. But are movies doing that good either? Because you mentioned something about indie movies earlier. Like,
yeah,
it's not.
Well, I mean, also Caitlin did a good counterpoint how the summertime's not really a time for indie movies. Right. So it's blockbusters and Transformers and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And
but we're not even hearing about it. Like there's no quality. This sounds like an old man rant, but there's no like what there's no good TV shows anymore that we look forward to. The only ones that are good end up on Netflix or something where they have a lot of creativity.
Are going to ruin the books.
Oh, what do you mean ruin the books?
Caitlin's upset
Game
because things are happening on the show that are not happening in the books. And
but isn't
the
that a good
nerds
thing?
Are getting upset.
All right. So here
the more scholarly intellectual people.
But don't you want them to divert from the books?
I do.
No. Well, okay, yes. Yes, I guess, because
they're running out
then
of books.
They wouldn't spoil the book for me. But I, on the other hand, I want them to stay true to the book. And so I am very, very conflicted.
Because if they just play the book, then you know what's going to happen. It's almost like just like you're
no,
just being
lazy. But that's the problem, is that I don't know what's going to happen.
She wants to know.
So that's a good thing.
No, but then when I read the book, I will know what will happen. And then it's like, well, then why am I reading the book? But I like reading books.
So in your
we
head,
get it. You're smart. All right.
You have to separate the two universes.
You're more learned.
That's why I read books about television, like from the 2000s.
I like audiobooks better.
Then come on a podcast.
I do love how much this season of Game of Thrones is upsetting people. I love how outraged people get at an episode on TV.
Which I don't agree with about how much people are getting angry about stuff. Like when, I don't want to like spoil it, but there were two different scenes where people were kind of, you know, outraged.
Yeah. I love it. It's great.
And I don't understand why.
Because people need something to be upset about. It's fantastic. I love how much people love to complain about things that are on TV. It's fake. If you don't like it, don't watch the goddamn show. Like it boggles my mind.
But what's funny is one of the scenes that people were very, very outraged about, this was a couple of weeks ago, in the book, it is so much worse.
I can imagine. I bet it is. But people are okay with the impaling of bodies on stakes and fathers dying in front of their daughters. But this one scene people are upset about. This is the one scene that drives people nuts. It's insane how upset people get over nonsense. Nonsense and fake nonsense. It's not real.
It's fake. It's not real. I mean, to me, it's funny because people get invested in TV shows
way too much.
But no, here's the thing. I kind of feel for the people that watch shows in some extent. Like, for instance, when a TV show has a series finale, there's the back and forth of like the creator saying, no, this is mine. I'll end it how I want to end it. And then there are people who are like, no, they kind of want the tied up nice ending where they all kind of feel like they got. Because in reality, if you watch a show for 6, 7, 8 seasons, you invested a lot of time and a lot of your like what you care about into a show. You deserve something nice in the end. You deserve a closure in the end.
Yeah.
So I think that in the end, like the creators of these shows, like as they create these storylines, they need to, yeah, they need to placate the viewer of the show. They need to surprise them. They need to entertain them. But yeah, you don't want to piss them off to a point where they hate the show or hate what's going on with the show.
I've stopped watching the last seasons of all TV shows. I've yet to see the last season of Dexter, and I love that show. But I've heard how many people hate it, so I won't watch it.
I did the same thing with Lost.
See, I painstakingly watched the end of Lost.
And that's my point. Did you like the ending of Lost?
No, nobody did. It was horrible.
That's my point. So do you, like...
It tarnished my opinion of Lost.
Yes. I think that's the point. Like, I watched Mad Men till
the end. Went through and I watched it again. I watched Lost in its entirety again.
Yeah.
And I still hated it.
Hated it.
Love the beginning. Those first couple seasons, fantastic.
It was.
Well, yeah, that's how I felt with Dexter.
Yeah, they were. But, like, see, I dodged the bullet there. I learned from my Lost misery, and I will not watch the last season of Dexter.
All right, let's make a list here. So, what terrible season finales? Lost, Dexter.
Yes. The O.C.
Why?
What happened at the end of the OC? I don't even remember that.
It was just basically like the entire last season was horrible. Once Misha Barton
left. It's just the way last season, I think the writers get upset that the season's ending. I don't know. I feel like just there shouldn't be last seasons. Shows should just end.
A lot of people would be upset about that too.
Like you're going to be upset no matter what.
When shows like get canceled
like
midway through.
Like Firefly or... Yeah. What else gotten canceled midway through? I'm trying to think. There have been other ones, though. Canceled too soon? Yeah, canceled too soon. And there are ones... People are upset. Anyway, people are going to be upset.
You can't.
No matter what. You can't.
Gilmore Girls.
I never watched an episode of that. I don't know.
Gilmore Girls was another one that... by the way, I have to explain because I can't go further without explaining my understanding and knowledge of Gilmore Girls. My wife has been watching it, and I just kind of tune in. And I even tweeted the other day, it's... catnip for white people. It really is. Nothing ever bad happens on the show. There's almost 0 to 1% of any drama. It's like, oh, this character kind of likes that boy. And now she's like, ah, she's not with him anymore. She's with that guy. And it's just like Aaron Sorkin-esque dialogue back and forth. And that's the show. There's nothing that ever happens. And it's so comfortable. It's like a warm blanket on the television.
That's why I think people liked it.
And I'll be honest, like you can't not like the show. It's one of those shows where it's like, yeah, I kind of like these characters. For me, I'm like, I'm a guy. I'm attracted to Laura Graham. She's beautiful and lovely, and she throws out pop culture references. What's not to love? So you watch the show, and yeah, it's like my wife is like, it's so nice. And I actually asked her too. I'm like, are you watching this? And do women like the show because it's like, I wish I had that relationship with my mom. Is that what it is? Because like they're best friends and mom and daughter. Is that it?
No, I think it's just that it is referencing all this pop culture.
Right.
Info.
Sounds great.
It's a weird show, too, because it takes place in like this small town that doesn't exist, although it does kind of exist. It actually is based on a town up in Connecticut. And, but it's like this oldie town that like no one has cell phones and like technology doesn't exist. But they constantly reference like modern pop culture references and like old pop culture references that kids of that age shouldn't even know about. It's mind boggling. But the point of this whole.
But that's why I enjoyed it, because when the times like that I did understand what they were talking about, I was like, oh, my God, That's so funny. That's great.
Well, the point of that is, and where why I randomly brought this up was that show also had a falling out with the creator. And and the last season was done without the person who made the show. Mm-hmm. And everyone hated the series finale. It was another show where it's like you have these people invested for how many seasons and you're just going to give them a crappy series finale where there's no closure on what happened.
Yep.
You know? What? All right, so that I'm adding that to the list here. So we have Lost, Dexter, OC, and Gilmore Girls.
I can put The Office on there. Office was kind of a disappointment.
Which one? The British?
The US one.
How did that end? I forgot.
Well, Scott left like a whole season early.
Yeah, no, it was like two seasons early. They clinged on to that. Yeah. That was bad. They should have ended it with him.
Yeah, they made Ed Helms the new Michael Scott.
Yeah.
They try to put some weird tension between Pam and Jim with one of the guys who actually is part of the documentary crew. Is that guy who has the three comma tequila in Silicon Valley?
Really?
Yeah, Dean Stephanopoulos or something like that. So they put some weird like.
Wait, is he related to George?
I don't know.
Stephanopoulos. How many Stephanopoulos?
Probably
is
not.
Really?
I'm not probably not pronouncing his name right. Yeah, they put some weird awkward tension between like they were strained between Jim trying to start a sports company startup, yeah, which makes no goddamn sense.
It was a really crappy way to go out.
Like Jim and Craig Robinson and one of the other guys in the office decided to start a sports agency because they clearly know how to do that from running their years of paperwork. Mm-hmm. And Pam was like distraught because she wanted more time with Jim, and the camera operator, the boom operator, who was that guy, they like had like a small will they or won't they that nobody gave a shit about.
No.
And yeah, then the show kind of ended.
Yeah.
That was it. Parks and Rec had a great finale. Parks and Rec did it right.
Yeah. Because they went into the whole last season
knowing what was going to happen.
30 Rock.
First of all, they flash forward the whole last season to make it 3 years in the future, which is great. So like Leslie already had three kids. Like it was crazy.
Which you never saw, by the way.
You saw them occasionally. It was kind of funny. They brought it up every now and then. and then the season finale, they laid out everyone's life. Yeah. They showed what happened to everybody.
They gave you closure on every character.
That was a great series finale. It was sad.
Yeah.
Because who's that guy? One of the writers died like 2 days before the finale was going to air. Mm-hmm. I forgot his name, but he was a very funny guy. But yeah, they closed it out properly, and I enjoyed that.
30 Rock also ended, I think, great.
Yeah, I forgot how that one ended.
It ended up revealing that we're like years in the future and Kenneth is actually in charge of NBC.
So they kind of do a Parks and Rec. They try to like go in the future, tell people what happened. And I like that.
But they did it in kind of like a end of Men in Black thing where like the camera kind of pans out and reveals that it's some marble in a universe. And inside the marble is really our universe, like something like that esque.
Harris Whittles. That's the guy who died. I wanted to get his name out there. So Matt, I didn't remember that. He was a very funny guy.
Actually, I'm missing one blatant one here. Sopranos.
Never watched that show.
Really?
No.
Me neither.
Really? It was a good show. It was weird in the sense that like the tone of the show, you just kind of get the sense of it's just this Italian mob show, but it was really well written. Like, you know, it's basically like smarter writing dumber characters.
Right. David Chase thinks.
And it's a really well done show. And it actually kind of holds up. Like it really does.
But
hold up.
I remember people talking about this scene, how it ended with Journey. They played a Journey song or something. Yep. Everyone was eating onion rings.
What's even crazier about it is that Chase he didn't know the song before.
What do you mean?
He randomly heard the song like around that time, which I don't know how or like how he ended up hearing the song, but he heard the song and he's like, oh, that's a cool song. I want to use that.
That's how he chose
it. And it's like,
it's like, how many years old is this song? Mm. And then I guess.
Well, what's funny is that song, because it was Don't Stop Believing, right? That song got a resurgence because it got played in an episode of
Glee.
No, it wasn't Glee. It was before that. Oh my God, what was that reality show that was Laguna Beach?
Oh.
It was played on Laguna Beach and
the real OC.
So many
don't call it that.
The youngins were like, "Oh my God, this song is great."
Oh God.
And then it like became number 1 everywhere.
Wow. I thought that was just a universally popular song no matter what. I didn't know it needed resurgence.
It has resurgence every once in a while,
apparently. There was definitely a resurgence of it about 10 years ago.
I feel like every wedding has that song.
Well, I mean, all right. So I have The Sopranos here. Lost, Dexter, OC, Gilmore Girls, The Office, and The Sopranos.
That's a pretty shitty list.
What else? Any other like, no. Oh, I would say a lot of people didn't like the ending of Seinfeld.
Where they got arrested for not helping a carjack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't mind it.
Which is, he's dead now, unfortunately, but Panay, the comedian. John Panay?
I don't know.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Maybe.
He was like the fat, overweight comedian.
Oh, he was the guy who got carjacked?
Yeah.
I don't even know that.
And but yeah, they didn't help. It was a Good Samaritan law thing, and they ended up they used it as a platform to bring all these old characters back and revisit all the people they've wronged over the years from being selfish, which is essentially what they were. They were just selfish people throughout the entire series. But and it's funny because like that show kind of lines up like, you know, It's Always Sunny and other shows like it where the characters are primarily selfish. Every other series throughout history really just tried to make you like these people.
Yeah.
Whereas Seinfeld was like, these are terrible people, but you kind of like that they're terrible.
Right.
So, but yeah, I'm trying to think about any other.
I'll throw one more to the list. How I Met Your Mother. Horrible finale. Horrible. Mm. You build up all this time meeting the wife, and then she, spoiler alert, she just dies. And he winds up with Robin.
I feel like that was one of the finales where it's like they tested it, and then they're like, oh no, they don't. They really wanted him to end up with Robin.
Right, yeah.
They like, all right, fine, we'll just recut it.
Absolutely. That was like, definitely cut to please. And even then, it didn't work.
Well, wasn't there an alternate version that was released on DVD and then it like came out online at some point where he did end up with the, and then ended?
Oh, there might be. I don't know. I haven't seen that. But
yeah.
That seems like it should have been a more proper way to
it. It was the alternate ending.
It should have been the real ending.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, you guys didn't watch Mad Men.
Nope.
Obviously, Mad Men had I wouldn't say a bad finale. It was, people were kind of confused by it. It took explaining, like, Matthew Weiner actually had to come out like that week and do like a,
post-discussion, right? What he
like,
did.
All right, let me just get down on a knee and explain it to you guys. All right, here's what actually happened. But yeah, I mean, it's weird because you get so much emotion that builds up over a series finale. But do we have any series finales coming? Like, is there any shows that are coming to an end? Because I feel like a couple of years ago, like we talked about The Office, talking about 30 Rock and Parks and Rec.
No, there's no like landmark show that's ending anytime soon, I don't think.
Well, are there any more landmark shows?
No, not really. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
This is a sad episode.
This is a sad episode.
Looking forward to True Detective. Yeah.
You mean the Taylor Kitsch show?
What?
Taylor Kitsch?
What?
Friday Night Lights guy?
I never watched it.
Dude from Battleship and John Carter.
Remember, because I'm scholarly and intellectual.
Learned.
I read the book.
That makes one of us.
Hey, she's so smart. Should we talk about the movie club?
Oh, I guess I'll just tap out. I'll just turn my microphone off.
Ooh, I cannot. You did not watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. I told you to. It should have been like, you know, Ernest Goes to Camp or something, but you didn't want to listen
to
me.
To be honest, you should have sent a reminder.
You should have.
Because I did not watch
it. A reminder email? That's my job?
Yeah. You're in charge of the
club
now.
Guys, remember.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, here's what we'll do.
Summer.
I will give you guys a break. I'll give you another week to watch it.
Oh, no.
Why can't we just fast forward to Wet Hot American Summer?
Because you need to watch The Professional. It's how the Netflix Movie Club works. I pick the thing, watch the thing, and we talk about it.
We've dropped movies before where it's like, listen, we realized that this was a terrible pick. No one's going to watch it.
It wasn't a terrible pick.
No, I'm not saying it's a terrible pick, but I'm saying Wet Hot American Summer is a better pick. It's more fun and lively.
Fine. You have to watch both.
What?
You got to watch both.
I can do that.
The deal.
I'll watch at least one of them.
No.
That's 50%.
Both. You've already seen Wet Hot American Summer. You already know it. Watch the one you haven't watched.
Sorry, I'll watch both.
Yes.
It's 4 hours of my life. All right. All right. I don't know. Goodbye.
Wow.
End the show. I pulled a Caitlin.
Yeah, that's my job.
Back. Tommy's going to watch some movies. Yes. He's going to listen this time.
Yeah. All right. If you remember any terrible series finales that we missed that... let us know at This Is Pop Center on Twitter and Instagram and Facebooks. And
we're on Instagram?
We are.
Oh, cool.
We should get that password. The forgot my password link. Next week we're back. Remember to watch Wet Hot American Summer.
And The Professional.
And Entourage.
No.
No? Oh, sorry. That was my own personal note for myself.
Yes, your own private note.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
That was good.